It's the morning show on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. John Munson in the seat right here in Madison, and we're diving into the results of yesterday's elections. In terms of Congress, Brian Stile won in the 1st District. Incumbents Mark Pocan, Jim Sensenbrenner, Ron Kind, Gwen Moore, Glenn Grothman, and Sean Duffy returned to Congress, along with U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin. Here in Wisconsin, Tony Evers and running mate Mandela Barnes have won the race for governor and lieutenant governor. Well, what do you think about the outcome of the governor's race? What about the results in other races? How do you feel getting up this morning? Did things turn out the way you wanted, the way you voted? Or did the candidates you supported lose? Tell us about it. This is your time. Call 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org or tweet us at WPR Mornings. Wisconsin Public Radio's Sean Johnson is here in the studio bright and early after a long election night and a very brief nap. He's the State Capitol Bureau Chief for Wisconsin Public Radio News. Sean, thanks for joining us this morning.
Good morning, John.
Let's turn first to the race for governor. The official word is Democratic challenger Tony Evers beat incumbent Republican Governor Scott Walker. That race went late into the night, or rather early into this morning. How did we get to a verdict?
We got to a verdict by about 31,000 more people casting a ballot for Tony Evers than for Scott Walker, and that is a margin of 1.16%, which is ridiculously close. And we found out about 2 o'clock or so, one or so in the morning, that Evers was going to have kind of that last pocket of votes to get him to victory, because there were uncounted absentee ballots at that point in Milwaukee. Once those came in, they came in big for Evers. And so a race that was at that point almost exactly 50-50 tied broke to Evers.
So Evers was ahead, then Walker, then Evers, then Walker. The margin razor thin at times with just a few hundred votes. What numbers do we have right now?
Right now, we have Tony Evers, 1,324,322 votes to Scott Walker's 1,293,261 votes.
And I used the term official just a moment ago, but is this not official?
Right. Okay. I mean, they're official to the degree that these are what clerks have reported. This is what the Associated Press has compiled. But in Wisconsin, elections are run at the local level. So this is not something where a state agency is out in all of these counties and reporting these exactly that way. I mean, these come from the county clerk in each county, which comes from clerks in municipalities. It's put together by the Associated Press, and that's as official as it gets on election night. I mean, when we talk about election returns, this is what we're always talking about, but it's not the official canvas, which will come later.
Okay. Current Lieutenant Governor Rebecca Clayfish spoke to supporters after those votes that we talked about came in around 1 this morning. She said, with respect for the process, they're preparing for the likelihood of a recount. How likely is that here?
Well, I guess we'll have to see what the final canvas shows, but because of a law that Governor Walker signed at the end of 2017, it is harder now to request a recount in Wisconsin. So it used to be that pretty much anybody could do it if they were willing to pay a share of it. And that led to Green Party candidate Jill Stein asking for a recount in the 2016 presidential election, even though Jill Stein got a very small portion of the vote. And so what happens now is you have to have, if you're more than a percent behind the winner, you can't request a recount. That is where Walker finds himself right now. He's 1.16% behind Tony Evers. And so under this law, he can't ask for it.
Okay. Well, we still, I guess, we'll have to wait and see what happens. What do we know about the concern raised by the Walker campaign about damaged ballots?
All I know is what they said in a statement last night. I mean, they said they wanted to have military overseas ballots counted. They wanted to see the official canvas. They mentioned damaged ballots. I'm not sure exactly what they're referring to. It came in late in the evening.
So we don't know where those were or anything.
Yeah, all I know is what came from the statement. I should mention, since you asked about recounts and the prospect of that, the attorney general's race is closer. And so Brad Schimmel trails Josh Call in that race. But that is within that 1% margin if it holds right now. So Schimmel would have a different set of options available to him than Walker does as it stands right now.
Okay. We should note Governor Scott Walker has not conceded to Tony Evers. So stay with us this hour. We'll talk with WPR reporters who spent election night with both Walker supporters and Evers supporters. We'll talk about what the candidates said after the results came in. Wisconsin Public Radio's Capitol Bureau Chief Sean Johnson is with us for the whole hour. And we want you to join the conversation. What's your take on the gubernatorial race? What about state legislative races? What was it that got you to the polls this year? Why were you energized to go out and vote? Let's take some calls. Eric joins us first from Kenosha. Hi, Eric. Welcome to the morning show.
Hi. Thank you. Great show. Great analysis going on here. I love it when the party in power changes the law to help them in the short run, and now they're getting bit by it. I mainly wanted to say very glad Evers got elected. I think while I didn't hate Walker the way some people did, I didn't agree with him most of the time. But I really was upset about the Foxconn deal, and that more than anything else, that probably got my vote for Evers.
All right, Eric, thanks for that. Let's go to Pete in Green Bay next. Pete, good morning. Welcome to the morning show.
Good morning. In talking to most of my my conservative or Republican buddies, it was the Foxconn deal that pushed them over. They, you know, because they finally, in my opinion, came to their senses and said, when is this going to be too much? I mean, at what point would the Republicans say, no, we won't cover your payroll for X number of years, or we won't take you off the tax roll for X number of years? And I think that that's something that both parties, but especially the Republicans, are going to have to get control of. I mean, everyone talks about immigration and health care, but at what point do we say no under the guise of helping business?
Okay. Pete, we get it. Two calls, Sean Johnson, and two people mentioning the Foxconn deal. Did polling related to Foxconn seem to jibe with last night's results?
I'm not sure if Foxconn was the factor. I'm always tempted to kind of take a step back and say, okay, what are the big picture forces going on here in this election? It's a midterm election. You got a Republican president, Republicans in control of Congress. That's typically bad for that party when it comes to governor's races. So that we knew that was the situation for Walker going in. We also knew that Republicans in traditional suburban, you know, Republican strongholds were uneasy about President Trump. And so there was some question, will that carry over to Walker, especially in somewhere like Waukesha County, where that has been a part of his success? He does amazingly well there. If you look at 2010, 2012, 2014.
Yeah, those are his people.
They are. And he still did, I mean, overwhelmingly good there, but not as good as he usually does. I mean, he'd usually get about 72% of the vote in Waukesha County. He got about 66% yesterday. And when you're talking a big county like Waukesha, that's a substantial drop off. Obviously, if he hits his normal numbers, we're talking about Scott Walker as the winner today. So I don't know if that was Foxconn, an issue that, maybe conservatives didn't care for, or if it's more you've got a president that bothers some suburban Republicans in the White House, and you've got that midterm cycle that was working against Walker from the beginning.
We're talking with WPR News Capitol Bureau Chief Sean Johnson, and we want to know what your reaction is the morning after the midterm election. Did you vote yesterday? Did a candidate other than the one you wanted to win, or did you support people who claimed victories? What's the most important issue you want them to know about now that they have been elected? Give us a call, 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. The conversation continues. I'm John Munson. It's the morning show on the Ideas Network of WPR. It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson. The campaign ads may be done for now, but we're still talking about the midterm elections, and we're talking about the results and what they mean for Wisconsin. How are you feeling about the outcome of the race for governor? What about U.S. Senate or the race in your congressional district? What about races for state legislature or other local races and ballot initiatives? Let us know how you're feeling as you get up this morning. Did things turn out the way you voted, or did the candidates you wanted lose? 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. If the lines are full, send us an email at ideas@WPR.org or tweet us at WPR Mornings. Sean Johnson, State Capitol Bureau Chief for WPR News, is with us in the studio. And now we welcome WPR's Laurel White. She's our State Capitol reporter, and she reported from the Evers campaign last night. Laurel, thanks for joining us.
Absolutely, John. Thanks for having me.
So the crowd pretty crazy at 1:30 this morning when Tony Evers took the stage. What did he have to say about his win over an incumbent governor?
You know, Evers kept his remarks pretty short. He made a couple jokes about how late the night had gotten for folks and how he had actually sent some of his kids and grandkids home. So we didn't get a very detailed victory speech from him. He kept it at a pretty high level. He mentioned quickly really kind of the cornerstones of his campaign. So schools, roads, and healthcare. But after those quick mentions, he focused on things like, you know, we're going to bring change to the state of Wisconsin. It's time for that change. And, you know, things like the work starts tomorrow. So a very kind of broad, overarching speech from Evers early this morning.
It was a pretty tight race throughout the evening. The lead flipped back and forth several times. How did the atmosphere change throughout the evening at the Evers campaign?
You know, it was interesting because it certainly was flipping back and forth very consistently. I feel like every time I refreshed the results on my computer, someone different was winning than before. And I was keeping close tabs on the feelings in the room, of course. And I didn't really feel like the crowd was getting too tense late in the evening. I feel like it stayed pretty upbeat, pretty optimistic throughout the course of the evening, even when it was getting quite close and doing those flips back and forth. I think the crowd was kind of riding that high of Evers leading early in the evening and some of the Democratic wins that they had seen on the big screen from around the country. And then it, of course, all went over the top in the wee hours of the morning after the race was called for Evers.
And when Tony Evers spoke, did the tone match what we heard from him during the campaign, or did this winning candidate seem different?
It did. It really matched the tone of the campaign. I think Evers kind of made a name for himself in this campaign with that laid-back sort of style, his personality of not being too confrontational, saying things, you know, kind of golly this and things like that. And he came out and was very enthusiastic. I think it was the loudest I have heard him in terms of, you know, excitement, volume, things like that. But he was still very much that kind of laid back guy that we've seen throughout the campaign, just maybe a little bit louder than before.
Leave us with one last takeaway about what you saw covering Evers for hours after the polls closed and the results rolled in.
You know, I think my biggest takeaway was the energy and the excitement in the room last night. I had to adjust the audio levels on my recorder multiple times because the excitement of the crowd there at the Evers event was just incredible. It was off the charts loud. And I think, as Evers said, people were ready for change in Wisconsin. The governor's been in office for two terms.
All right, Laurel White, Wisconsin Public Radio's State Capitol reporter. Thanks so much for your time this morning. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks, John.
Laurel reported last night from Tony Evers' campaign. He won the race for governor unofficially. We'll hear from WPR's Bridget Bowden later on in the program. She covered the race at the headquarters for Governor Scott Walker, and who was looking for a third term as governor of Wisconsin. Let's go to the phone. Steve is joining us from Sun Prairie. Steve, good morning. Welcome to the morning show.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I think it's a sad day for Wisconsin. I've been a Walker supporter for a long time. I moved from Illinois mainly because of the tax policies. But I think what's going to be really interesting is now that the conservatives lost election, one of the things I can guarantee, there won't be anybody storming the Capitol. There won't be anybody calling Evers and racist and homophobic and everything else. We'll go about our business. We'll go back to our jobs, and we'll fight in the next election. So a completely different thing versus the mob that finally got their victory.
Steve, thanks so much for that. Sean Johnson, anything to respond to there in terms of Steve's take on the election and what it means for the state?
Maybe if Steve was comparing it to 2011 when Walker came in, I guess it's not an apples to apples comparison because at the time Walker had a Republican legislature and they did a lot of big things right away. So what Evers is going to walk into is a situation where there's a Democratic governor, but a Republican legislature. And so any grand ideas that he has about moving the state dramatically to the left are not going to happen because he's got that Republican legislature to work with and pretty frequently, I assume, work against each other. They will be at odds quite a bit.
Let's go. Thanks, Steve, for that phone call. Let's go to Whitewater next. Mackenzie is with us. Mackenzie, good morning. Welcome to the morning show.
Good morning. Hi. Yeah, so I went to sleep last night, and I didn't know what the outcome was going to be. I voted for Tony, and I am a social worker. I've been a case manager. I've worked in community services, and to me, education is extremely important, and the people, the people struck by poverty in Wisconsin, and the lower class, middle class, and working middle class are really struggling. And we need someone that represents the people. We need someone who has experience working with families, like on the ground here in Wisconsin. And I feel like he understands that, and that means so much to me, and it gives me hope. And I know that, you know, he's got a lot up against him, but I just feel like him finally being that voice for us, it means so much, and it made me very happy. It gave me hope.
Okay, Mackenzie, thanks for the call. Sean, do you think Mackenzie was typical of a Tony Evers supporter?
Yeah, for all that there was talk about, the governor's last education budget, I think, for example, Walker's last education budget was supported by Evers. Certainly his first ones weren't when he was first sworn into office in 2011. He had deep cuts to schools. Democrats opposed those. But in this last budget, they were kind of on the same page, and there was some debate back and forth during this campaign over who was the education governor. I do think going forward, though, if, Tony Evers is going to be more inclined to probably spend more on schools, regardless of the financial situation of the state, so right now we have revenue. Things are going well, in the grand scheme of things. There's money to be spent on things like schools. If in a future budget we didn't have that, that's kind of when whether you have a Democratic or Republican governor in the executive residence there makes the biggest difference as far as like spending on schools, et cetera, goes, because then it becomes harder to spend state money on those priorities. And there have been times when Evers has talked about, if need be, shifting around the tax code in order to pay for schools.
Sean Johnson is the State Capitol Bureau Chief for Wisconsin Public Radio News. Sean, where do we stand when it comes to the Attorney General's race?
The Attorney General's race is closer than the governor's race. It basically tracked the governor's race, but it's a little bit tighter. So Democrat Josh Call right now is the leader. I say leader because he was not, last time I checked, not declared. Okay, we do have... No, he is not yet declared good the winner by Associated Press. So it's almost the same outcome as the governor's race, but Call is within that 1% margin that would allow Brad Schimmel to ask for a recount if he wanted. I don't know if that's why AP didn't call that race or not, but they didn't call that race. But as of right now, Josh Call is the winner there.
So where was Call, where was Schimmel, where were their votes coming from?
It's really like very similar to the governor's race. Democrats were overperforming 2014 and 2010 in places like Dane County. I mean, Dane County's margin in the governor's race was, you know, something like 150,000 votes they got over Republicans there. That's just a huge margin. And Dane County, it's always been Democratic, but it is trending more Democratic in these elections. And so that helped Evers in a big way. You also saw Evers and Baldwin even more so get a bunch of votes in southwest Wisconsin. That's kind of a swingy part of the state. It's not a huge vote-getting area, but those states are, or those counties are willing to support people like Trump and Obama and Walker and Evers. So you saw some support there for Democrats as well.
Well, it keeps us on our toes as we're reporting that. WPR News reporter, Capitol Bureau Chief Sean Johnson stays with us as we continue to talk about yesterday's midterm election results. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm John Monson. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Monson. It's the morning after the 2018 midterm elections. How are you feeling about the outcome of the governor's race? What about the U.S. Senate or the race in your congressional district? What about races for state legislature or other local races? Let us know how you're feeling. Did things turn out the way you wanted, or did the candidates you wanted to win actually lose? Did you vote yesterday? Why or why not? How did you feel about this campaign season in general? 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. Ideas@WPR.org is the email address. You can also tweet us at WPR Mornings. Sean Johnson is with us. He's the State Capitol Bureau Chief for Wisconsin Public Radio News. But before we move on to other races, we're going to dig into the governor's race a little bit more. WPR's Bridget Bowden is a special projects reporter at Wisconsin Public Radio. Last night, she covered Governor Scott Walker's campaign. Bridget, thanks for joining us this morning.
Good morning.
What have we heard from Governor Walker since the Associated Press called the race for Evers and he'd learned he'd lost the bid for a third term as governor of Wisconsin?
So last night, Walker didn't give a speech. We actually got kicked out of the hotel before there was any sort of chance to do that. I'm not sure he would have had we been able to stay at the hotel all night. But we did get a statement from Walker campaign spokesman Brian Reisinger in the wee hours of the morning that said that they are keeping an eye on that official canvas whenever it comes out, and also waiting for military ballots to be counted, and also taking a look into some potentially damaged ballots and comparing them to their original ballots. So they are still waiting on some things.
Do you know any more about those damaged ballots? Sean and I were talking about that earlier. And where are these ballots, and did we get any more information about that?
I don't know anything more, Sean.
Okay.
Just what we saw in the statement, that's it. Sorry, just what we saw in the statement is, I think, all any of us have seen at this point.
So is the were people still around supporting him at 1:30 when Evers declared victory, or did they go home when while the race was still too close to call?
So people cleared out well before Evers gave his speech. But like I said, we were kicked out of the venue. They had a breakfast they needed to set up for. People had definitely cleared out by the time the AP officially called the race.
What's one final thing we should know that you observed covering the Walker campaign late into the night after the election?
Sure. It was very tense. It was probably the tensest election night I have ever covered. There were times where it was so quiet, I could hear NPR playing through my headphones, which were sitting on the table. So it was absolutely just people were watching the numbers roll in and were keeping an eye on where we were at. And there were times where you could hear a pin drop.
So it wasn't a party atmosphere by any means then?
It was at times, you know, we'd get cheers when the numbers would flip and Walker would be on top again. But then, you know, 5 minutes later, the numbers would flip back and it kind of went like that all night.
All right, Bridget, thanks. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
WPR's Bridget Bowden is special project reporter at Wisconsin Public Radio. Last night, she covered Governor Scott Walker's campaign, and you've heard her on this program as we've had our Beyond the Ballot features throughout this election season. Before we move to other races, let's turn to some callers. We'll start with Mark, who is with us from Waukesha. Mark, good morning. Welcome to the morning show.
Hey, good morning. Abraham Lincoln is regarded as one of the greatest presidents of all time, and Lincoln was quoted as saying that a house divided cannot stand. And when Scott Walker came in with the divide and conquer mentality, I think a lot of people thought, whoa, this is not how Wisconsin rolls. This is very un-Wisconsinite. And I think that brought him down. And I think when you combine that with what Donald Trump is doing, the divisive kind of attitude, myself and all of my Republican friends just said, you know, this is not how we govern a state. This is more of a dictatorship. And I think Wisconsinites just had their fill of it, and that's what I got to say.
All right, Mark. Mark, thanks so much for that. Let's, Sean, the divide and conquer thing, and of course Donald Trump really playing up the political polarization of the United States. Do you think that was a factor in the election? Is that who we are in Wisconsin?
I don't know as far as the divide and conquer thing, because I remember Governor Walker has already stood for two statewide elections since the battle over Act 10 happened. You know, the point that him actually saying divide and conquer in that video is part of a documentary, came out shortly before the 2012 recall. He was well known. His record was well known by 2014. So I guess what you have seen is a very divided state when it comes to Scott Walker. He never became a Tommy Thompson type governor. And I'm not sure that a governor could do that in Wisconsin in, you know, today's politics. It may not be possible, but it is a very divided state. And so in a race like last night, that certainly didn't help him reach out to independent voters who've helped get him across the finish line as, you know, in previous elections.
Let's take a call next from Jeff in Dunlefield. Jeff, good morning.
Hi, yes, good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I'm a supporter of Governor Walker, always have been. But also as a sportsman, a conservationist, I've been frustrated with a lot of his efforts to weaken wetlands protections, groundwater protections, how he's handled chronic wasting disease in the state and issues like that. And I'm just wondering how much of an impact that may have had on the outcome here. I have family members who, like myself, have always been Walker supporters, and this time actually didn't vote for anybody in the governor's race just because of that frustration.
Jeff, thanks. Thanks for that call. Jeff's perspective on environmental issues, does that ring a bell with you in terms of people that you've talked to, Sean?
I mean, there are people here and there that does reflect something that I've heard, you know, say on the high capacity wells issue, for example. There are lakefront property owners out there who have traditionally voted Republican, but then find kind of GOP deregulation on the issue of high capacity wells not exactly something they appreciate as they're watching lake levels go down. But that is, I mean, that's a handful of people in the
right
state, so I'm not sure you could say that's what did it. Say that I have heard that elsewhere.
What about the comment that he suggested that there were some longtime Governor Walker supporters who basically just didn't vote for anyone for governor, just skipped that part of the ballot?
That seems very possible, just given the way that things turned out in Waukesha County.
Right.
It's not that they voted for Tony Evers, it's that they stayed home
this
time.
Didn't come out.
And that's in suburban counties, though. That's been kind of a factor in the during the Trump elections, 2016. Now, we'll call this one a Trump election, even though he wasn't on the ballot. But the closest state Senate race was actually in, you know, suburban Milwaukee and Milwaukee and Waukesha counties. That was one where Democrats tried to flip a state Senate seat and came pretty close. The fact that they even came close in that district is, to me, a sign that there are, for Republicans, there are struggles with those suburban Republican voters.
Okay. Well, we'll see how that plays out in the future. Let's take another call. Mary is with us in Pewaukee. Mary, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Thanks, Sean and John. I'm pretty happy. I am kind of glad that Walker kind of got his comeuppance with this recall. So he kind of screwed himself, I believe, that way, with not being able to do anything further with that. But I am happy that Tammy Baldwin got back in. She did a wonderful race, and I am looking forward to hearing Evers, you know, become the next governor and some change. Him being for education and Walker being more or less a lifetime politician, Evers, it was an easy choice for me. And when I hear people that are still supporting an immoral administration, such as Trump and his, to me, swamp, it does make me angry, but I'm trying to be a kind and loving person.
All right, Mary, thanks for that. She was referencing the recount statute that Governor Walker signed and is suggesting he might be hoist from his own petard there if he is not able to ask for a recount, Sean, and I think that's probably what she was referring to there. Let's also look at the what's next in the gubernatorial race. So we have we still have to have the official canvass before we actually have an official result.
I would say that's the big what's next, and when the Walker campaign sees what that final margin is, they'll know what their options are. And let's say even if they were under that 1% margin, remember in the, you know, the 2016 election, Donald Trump won by roughly 23,000 votes. And people were saying, well, that, what a waste of energy it is to have a recount for something that is 23,000 votes between the candidates. Yes, it's a close race, but that's not recount territory.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, even if the governor gets under, you know, gets within 1%, it's not like it's right there. So I am kind of watching, you know, for news to drop this week or something that might change that. But the first thing you have to look for is just that canvas and see where we are at that
point.
And
that will take about how long, do you think?
Oh, unfortunately, I don't have a direct answer for you right there. It will not be too long from now, but I'll get
it. We're talking days, not weeks.
Correct.
Okay, so we won't be in limbo for very long. Just want to let people know that this is your hour to call in and let us know how you feel this morning after the election at 800-642-1234. Sean Johnson stays with us to talk about this. When we come back, we've referenced the state Senate. We've talked a little bit about that, but we will be talking more about it. And one thing, Sean, to think about as we go into this break, we had a tweet from Luke who says, the fact that we elected a Democratic governor, but that the Assembly and Senate both stayed Republican helps illustrate the power of gerrymandering in our state. We'll talk about that and some other Senate-related stuff in just a moment. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Stay tuned. We will be talking election stuff all morning. I'm John Munson. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm John Munson. Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio State Capitol Bureau Chief, is with us, and we're talking about the aftermath of yesterday's midterm elections, wondering how you feel as you get up this morning, get ready to go to work or go to school. What do you think about what happened yesterday? Either way, whether your candidates won or lost, let us know what you're thinking. 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. Ideas at WPR.org is the email address, and you can always tweet us at WPR Mornings. Okay, the state Senate, Sean Johnson, you mentioned the Democrats were hoping to flip some seats and maybe hang on to others, and they did not succeed in that. How did the Republicans stop them?
They stopped them by basically every seat that Democrats tried to flip. They came up short. The 17th state Senate district in southwest Wisconsin, represented by Republican Howard Markline, he did fine in that district. I mean, it was not exactly close in his race with Chris Marion. The 19th state Senate district with Roger Roth against Democratic challenger Lee Snodgrass, that, you know, was a reasonably comfortable margin for Roth there. The closest one in the races that Democrats really challenged and tried to flip was, you know, mentioned this a little, or referenced it a little bit earlier, the 5th state Senate district with Dale Coinga, a Republican representative running in that seat. And that's the seat that is currently held by State Senator Leah Vukmir, that suburban Milwaukee district. And Coinga won that by fewer than 3 percentage points, so pretty close.
Mm-hmm.
But Republicans held on there. And so then what happened is there was the first state Senate district up in, you know, the Door County area in northeast Wisconsin.
Right, where there was the special election.
There was the special election, and there was a rematch yesterday, and only there was a different electorate. I mean, that special election in June was, I think maybe in hindsight we'll say that was the highly motivated voters who were extremely motivated in the era of President Trump. Democratic voters turned out for that race, and Caleb Frostman won. Had a higher turnout in this race yesterday. Walker did reasonably well up in that part of the state. It carried over to Andre Jacques, and Andre Jacques defeated Caleb Frostman there. So Republicans went into the day with an 18-15 majority in the Senate. They leave with a 19-14 majority there, and so that will be something that Governor Evers certainly has to contend with.
Well, I mentioned we had a tweet from Luke who said basically this illustrates the power of gerrymandering in our state. And then we had a related tweet to that from Andy who says Tony Evers having veto power over the next round of redistricting is a very big deal. Disenfranchisement due to political party affiliation is likely to end, which is good for the state. So how much power will a Governor Evers, assuming that is indeed what happens, how much power would Governor Evers have over redistricting?
He has the veto pen, you know, as mentioned. I mean, that is a huge deal. There are any number of reasons why the election of a governor is a big deal, because governors are powerful in state government, obviously. But the election of a governor in this election cycle is particularly big because this governor will be here until 2022, which means they'll be there when the next legislative maps are drawn, the next congressional maps are drawn. And so what happened in 2011 after the last census, Governor Walker was able to sign the map Republican legislators produced, and it's created a map that has, you know, helped them keep power for the past decade. What we did see yesterday is that in, you know, we talk about a hypothetical 50-50 statewide election, how many seats would the parties get? We kind of had that 50-50 election statewide yesterday, at least in the governor's race, and Republicans were able to do very well in the races for the legislature. So it's not the only factor that wins legislative races, but it's an important one. And so now what happens is Governor Evers would be able to veto anything that the legislature puts out, and they'll either have to come up with something that everybody can agree on, or more likely they'll be at odds and it goes to the courts.
Let's take another call. Alejandro is with us in Madison. Alejandro, good morning. Thanks for joining us on the morning show.
Thank you. So Sean, my question to you is, you were talking about Governor Walker and the GOP having options going forward, and I'm wondering, what is the likelihood of us seeing a sequel to North Carolina's shrinking of the governor's office in the lame duck session? Could Walker and the GOP legislature strip Evers of some executive powers before he even is inaugurated?
I doubt it, because, I mean, they could be back in, I mean, Republicans, it's Wisconsin. They could be back in power again in 2022, in the next governor's race. So there's been just no trend in Wisconsin to take power away from the governor's office. It has been from Democratic governors and Republican governors. It's been to make that office more powerful. So I guess I'm not expecting that, but maybe you just should expect the unexpected.
Sean, what can you say about Wisconsin and the so-called blue wave?
I mean, You did see Democrats elected at the top of the ticket last night. Tammy Baldwin, Tony Evers, Josh Call. It is hard for Democrats to win a midterm election in Wisconsin, and Governor Walker's Republican machine is nationally renowned. I mean, it is a powerful force, the Republican Party of Wisconsin. They know how to win these elections. So I guess if you look at it that way, you'd say, yeah, it was certainly a Democratic election. I don't know if I'd call it a blue wave, though, because, you know, that they are still in charge of
maybe a blue
the
ripple.
Legislature. Yeah, maybe. Okay. But you look nationally, and I mean, Democrats won the U.S. House, so that's a big deal.
Let's go to Ann in Green Bay next. Ann, good morning.
Hello. Well, I did not know Josh Call once, so that's helped make my day a little bit. But I would just like to say, as a Democrat, I'm still a little depressed because not much changed other than the governor and Josh Call. And I don't think Tony's going to be able to get much done because he's going to have all this Republican opposition yet. I mean, we've actually lost a couple of seats as to the red. And so I just see it kind of like as the next 4 years of a lame duck because he's not going to be able to do anything because Republicans still have control.
Yeah, we don't actually have a called winner in the attorney general's race, but Call is ahead by a small margin at the moment. But Ann's point, what's Tony Evers really going to be able to get done given the opposition he will have in the legislature?
So I'm just thinking back to when Democratic Governor Jim Doyle was in office. He had a Republican legislature to work with, and they passed a bunch of stuff he didn't like. He vetoed a bunch of their bills. They complained about many aspects of his budget, but I think the old adage still holds that a governor is going to get 80-90% of what he wants in a budget. Governors just have so much power when it comes to drawing up that budget. The legislature can pull stuff out and rearrange it, but because the governor built the budget, it's hard for them to totally redo it. So I think we're more partisan now than we were in 2005. So maybe there would be more of a standoff when it comes to budget issues. But the governor has a strong hand.
Let's briefly turn to the first congressional district in the race to fill U.S. House Speaker Paul Ryan's seat in that district. Republican Brian Stile won over Democrat Randy Bryce. What's striking about this race?
I guess that It basically followed along with where that district performs, you know, as a partisan district. Style had like 55% of the vote. Randy Bryce, for all the money and energy that his campaign had, I mean, the national attention his campaign had, this was a Republican district. Brian Style won it with a Republican margin there.
Do you think it would have been different if it would have been Paul Ryan running for re-election rather than Brian Stile running as a newcomer?
It could have been. That's what energized Bryce's campaign, really, was the fact that he was running against Paul Ryan. If he was running against Brian Stile from the get-go, he wouldn't have gotten that national attention and that money. So Paul Ryan helped him. At the same time, Paul Ryan never really had a close election in that race. So to say that he would have had one this cycle, probably not the case.
Goes against the trend anyway. Right. Sean Johnson, State Capitol Bureau Chief for Wisconsin Public Radio News. Thanks a lot, Sean. Go home. Get some sleep, man, because right. you've had a long, long last 24 hours.
Thanks, John.
We will continue our conversations this morning after the midterm elections. And we'll take more of your calls as well. Next up, was this really the year of the woman? We'll take stock of how a record-breaking number of women running for office fared at the ballot box. And there's room for you to join us at 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234, ideas@WPR.org, or you can tweet us at WPR Morning. Stay with us. I'm John Munson. This is The Morning Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network on Wisconsin Public Radio.